He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We go, yeah, right. But he wasn't lying. It truly is. Here's the other thing that I found often when I have denied myself, so that when my basic needs were met and I was using what I had to help other people, often God's given me some of those very toys, like the tires that Fonny talked about, so that you have something to share. You know what I love about all of this? I love that the life we're being told to put on is simply Jesus. It's just the way Jesus is. Can you see why it would be important? Do you know anybody that doesn't want to be a Christian because they know a Christian? Do you know anybody that doesn't want to go to church because they went to church once? I know lots of people like that. I know people in town that really like me. And when they find out I'm a minister, there's a fork in the road. I remember one guy one time, he says, you can't be a minister. You're nice. And I thought, man, somebody really hurt you in Jesus' name sometime, didn't they? So part of why we need to be this way is because we have him in us. We represent him. Okay, let's get to verse 29. I think I've got enough time to do it justice. Do not let, do not allow is what the word let means. Do not allow any unwholesome talk to come out of your mouth. The most obvious thing about that statement is it's going to want to come out of your mouth. You don't have to think of unwholesome things to say. They're right there. They're just ready to bleh, you know, come out and just get all over everybody. They are. And of course, a lot of that has to do with what I'm feeding myself too. I have discovered this. If I'm feeding bitterness and anger against somebody, the devil will provide an opportunity for me to vent that at that person. And like I said, often in 10 seconds, you can do damage that takes months or even years to repair, simply because we're so foolish. We didn't realize what was going on. I think the pivotal word here, besides don't allow it, which means stop it from coming out. Chuck used to say, you know, give yourself the stomach ache by swallowing your words rather than spewing them and giving somebody else the stomach ache. Just swallow them. But I think the pivotal word is this word, unwholesome. What does that mean? It's a big word. It's a broad word. I'll give you some of the synonyms in my Greek dictionary. Rotten, foul, polluting, worthless. That's an interesting one, because it means stuff that just doesn't need to be said. I have found that the devil can use my words to hurt people more than any other thing I do. And whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me, that's not true. I'm constantly meeting people who have been wounded by other people's words, and, you know, usually parents. And it did damage to them. But only what is helpful. Don't let the junk come out, but only what is helpful for building others up. Wouldn't this one scripture change every relationship that I have? I know it'll change our marriage, but I tell you, you have to have steely determination to implement in your marriage, because you know each other's buttons. Usually there's so much baggage, and plus you have an enemy. My personal thing is that this cannot be implemented without the Holy Spirit. Two good things to keep in mind in Galatians 5. I've been thinking about Wednesday nights maybe teaching Galatians when we finish 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Some great stuff in there. But when it talks about fruit of the Holy Spirit, two things fit into this verse. One is fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Means he gives me the ability to stop the crud from coming out of my mouth. And the other is kindness, which is the second part of the verse about speaking the things that are helpful. It means that my words can build people up, or my words can tear them down. We have pretty much straight across the board a church filled with wounded people. Just about everybody that I know very well, I know the wounds that we have. It's amazing how many times the wounds that went deep weren't just the arrow that got shot in, but into us by whoever. It was the message that went along with the arrow. When you pull the arrow out, the message is still there in your heart. It's hard for people to shake. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. You're just like your mother, or, you know, name something. Those things are not lightweight things. They hurt. If you've been a victim of them, you know that. That, I think, in itself ought to be a reason for me to be careful about what I let come out. Here's an interesting phrase. I want to say something about this, because a lot of destructive things in the churches starts as prayer requests. A lot of gossip starts as prayer requests. They're things that just don't need to be said. And we're dumb, and we say them anyway. And they wind up hurting people. Here's the thing that somebody told me with this when God was trying to change my behavior. Using this verse, it says, only let out of your mouth what is helpful for building each other up according to other people up according to their needs. Here's what this person says. Ask yourself before you say this thing you just have to get off your chest, do they really need to hear it? Could they hear something not as scathing? Could they hear something not as revealing? Could they hear something and get the point across without the words that somehow, once they're in there, can't be shaken? That's a good one, isn't it? Ask yourself, do they really need to hear this? I think sometimes they do, but probably most of the time they don't. I think sometimes this has been true for me. Sometimes I needed to hear something that could correct behavior that was destructive, but it was something I didn't particularly want to hear. And some brave person who I knew loved me had the courage to say that. My father was usually the one that did it, and he was a very unusual father. He could do it with tears in his eyes. He could do it with kindness in his voice. He could do it that when I walked away and instead of feeling like the biggest loser in the world, I felt like, wow, my dad loves me enough to want me to be a better man. So I think sometimes there are things that need to be said, but I have to tell you, churches are famous for people not knowing how to keep their mouth shut. They just are things that don't have to be said. And that falls into this category, doesn't it? Only the things that are useful. Here's the poignant phrase, too. So that it may benefit those who listen. This is really going to be a zinger. I'm sorry. I've not been reading anybody's mail. I'm not getting emails from your spouse. But you know who are the victims to this more than any other thing? Are children. Because even if they're not the objects, they're listening. I know guys that don't know how to treat women because their father didn't know how to treat their mother. This is generationally learned behavior. Both ways, the good way and the bad way. So what happens is, if I'm cautious about the words that come out, if I'm thinking of the benefit of those that are listening. Now, Let me ask you a question. When you're really angry, are you thinking any of these good thoughts? This is why the devil loves to push my buttons, because I'm not thinking about it at all. I'm just bleh, I'm just letting it fly. And then, just throw the grenade in the room, wipe out everybody, and then go through and see who was guilty and who was innocent. But they're still dead. I have tried. There are lots of people in other churches and other pastors even that say very nasty things about me. I have tried to not do that for them. I have no control over what they do. I just have control over here's where it has to start. It has to start in the way I think. If the thought pops into my head about what a nasty person this is, or they just need to hear real, somebody better tell you the truth, buddy. You know, like we talked this last week about speaking the truth and love. Usually you get either or. You get the truth or you get love, but you hardly ever get both. But in God's kingdom, it starts with my thoughts. It starts with the way that I think about this person. Don't you love that story that Max told about the rock and the truck driver, and how all these images of this, you know, fat, out of control, you know, guy, greasy stains on his T-shirt. I mean, you can paint this picture of this person. Here's what stops it for me. When I'm getting up ahead of steam because somebody inadvertently or vertently, I mean deliberately or accidentally, somebody says something that hurts me, and I'm projecting what their motives are and all this stuff, the Lord always says to me, Bob, you do not know what anybody else is thinking, so don't go there. Because the minute you go there, you're susceptible to lies. Give one another the benefit of the doubt. That's what love does. John Corson said that we judge other people by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. But if there was ever a double standard, that's it, isn't it? I can't believe what she did. And the Lord says, well, you know, technically, didn't you do the very same thing? Well, I didn't mean to. I mean, see, I meant something completely different. And then, okay, then why can't you give the benefit of the doubt to that person that you just gave to yourself? All of this would change the way we are. It would change our relationships. I would have to tell you, it may not change other people. I personally think you got a better shot at other people changing if you live this way. If you're doing it to change other people, that's the wrong reason. But it will change us. And I suspect that it will. Well, one thing it'll do is it'll make this a safe place. So don't allow any unwholesome talk to come out of your mouth. I have a very good friend who took this so seriously. A few times I've watched him in a conversation just say, excuse me, and go running out of the room. And I knew that somewhere out in the parking lot he was going, bleh! You know, he's just, okay, calm down. He's getting himself centered because he had always been the kind of person that just, oh, yeah, and just belted it out. And, of course, it ruined every relationship that he had. And he decided, I'm going to start doing it God's way. And I tell you, all of the resources of heaven are at our disposal. In fact, to be frank, the whole reason this is written is because this is the description of the fact that we aren't who we used to be. We have a new life in us. This is the way to act because we have a new life. We have Jesus' life in us. So I did pretty good. We'll see if I get any nasty emails. There's a wonderful Bob Bennett lyric, one of my favorite Christian songwriters. He talks about every harsh action, every unkind word spoken is data in my memory. Total recall. I haven't learned this about those things where you don't control what you say. Your enemy will use it against you. He'll remind the people that you've hurt. He'll remind you. I would give anything if I could take back things that I have said that have hurt people I love. I would give anything if I could do it. Of course, I can't. I can apologize. I can repent. But repentance is what he's just been talking about. You used to do that. Don't do it anymore. Do this instead. That's repentance. Repentance isn't feeling sorry. Repentance is a change in linear direction. And you see repentance in the whole put off and then put on thing. Have you been letting unwholesome words come out of your mouth at will? Stop that. Don't do that anymore. Instead, only say the things that are useful. I learned in marriage counseling that sometimes it takes a courageous person to say, we can't have this conversation right now. We need to cool off because we're both capable of saying things that will do damage that may not be able to be repaired easily. I think that is shows great wisdom and great courage. So, I don't know why God picked as such an imperfect person as me to be the one that teaches this. Because you could watch me and learn just as many wrong ways of doing it as the right ways. It is God's word. It's written to us to show us how to live because of who we are. To break patterns and habits that have never been challenged in our lives. So that we'll be different people. Have you seen any change in yourself in this area? Oh, I know you have, because you know Jesus. I've had a few of your relatives tell me, I can't believe this is the same person I married. I used to be scared to death of them. Now I see Jesus leaking out. Now I see the battle. I see the old person being wrestled to the ground by the new life, and I just want to do the happy dance of joy when I hear that, because he is changing us. Stay close to him. Listen to him. Be willing to admit that you stink. If you can do that to another person, then there's somebody that'll pray for you. At least admit it to Jesus. And I'll say this, pray for your pastor. I'm determined, but that's not going to cut it. I need help. I just need Jesus. I need Jesus to shine out of my life. Amen? I'm not mad at anybody. I did look right straight at Holly, but that's just because she's sitting right in front of me. I'm sorry. I'm not picking on you. Can't look at Garth because he's, you know, he's too godly and probably doesn't need to hear this. But no, we all do, don't we? If you are looking for a church to go to where nobody needs to hear this, good luck with that, because you won't find any. That's why this is written. That's why God preserved it all this time, because this applies to us. Let's pray. Help. Help, Lord. Lord, thank you that I am not the same person I used to be by a long shot. I'm not exactly like Jesus by a long shot either. But you are working. I know you are. The fact that I even can pray the prayers I pray, that I can ask you for help, proves that I'm not the same person that always blamed everybody else. So thank you for these words of life. You said that when we knew the truth and the way of applying it in our lives, that it would set us free. Don't know about anybody else, but I want to be free from all those destructive things that we read here. Thank you for giving us a new life. I pray that we would lean heavily on that fact as we try to implement these things. I pray that we could pray for each other. If one spouse has got a better handle on this than another, I pray they could pray for each other rather than being critical. So thank you for being a father that loves us all anyway, even when we're bad kids, even when we're retarded in our understanding, our growth, you're still a good father. Thank you for the strength that you give to change. Thank you for the good work that you're doing. All this we pray that you'd remind us, Lord, when we fall into those old habits. Bring these words back to our mind. Thank you for the words of that song we sang that says, He is able to make me what He wants me to be. Wow. That's a mouthful. So we're counting on it, Lord, in the week ahead. Starting here, starting now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming.